Welcome to Through the Bible with Les Felder, a 30-minute walk through the Scriptures, teaching in-depth Bible truths that change people's lives. Now, here's your host, Les Feldick.
Okay, it's good to see that red light come on. Then I know it's for real. Okay, again, we're glad you're all back. And for those of you joining us on television, we just have to take time a minute and just thank you from the depths of our heart for all your kind letters, your cards, and then for your prayers. And above all, that keeps us on the air, your financial help. My, we are never less than amazed at how it just continues to keep up. I just looked at the girls the other day and asked, have we got enough to pay the bills? And they said, we're in good shape. So we just thank you for that. And we just pray that you pray that we'll just continue to reach more and more hearts. Because, see, the kind of people that catch us on television usually have never heard any of this before. And I guess that's what hooks them, because it's not just what Les Feldick thinks. It's right here in plain black and white. And why the majority misses? Well, I guess I know why. I've said it over and over. The world population was 4-5 billion at the time of the flood. How many believers? 8. Now, that's a precious small percentage up through Israel's history. What percent of even the chosen people were true believers? 0.1%. And then you come to the Lord Jesus himself. He put it plain as day. And I told a gentleman one time who was a member of a great religion with probably 1 billion people on earth, and he was trying to convert me. And I said, no, wait a minute. I said, the Scripture tells me that you're wrong and I'm right. He says, where? I said, when the Lord himself says, broad is the gate and wide is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many go in thereat. But narrow is the way and straight is the gate that leadeth to eternal life, and few there be that find it. Never forget that. Never forget that. And I've always made the statement on this program, when it comes to the things of the Spirit, the majority is always wrong. Think about it. When the 10 spies or the 12 spies went in to search out the land of Canaan, what was the majority report? 10. Can't do it. Wrong. They could have had it without lifting a sword. But the minority, the 2, were right, but it didn't carry. Well, it's no different today. The majority of Christendom is going down the wrong road because they will not look at what the book really says. Okay, we're going to continue on now in the big picture, starting from Adam and the fall and the curse and the coming about of the nation of Israel. And now they've come out of Egypt as a nation of people, not as a ragtag bunch of carpetbaggers like Cecil B. DeMille showed it, but they came out organized. And it says armies, but it really was by tribes. All 12 tribes had their own banner. They were all organized. And as they get around Mount Sinai, they encamp by tribe. Total organization. All right, that's where we're going to pick them up now. In Exodus chapter 19, they have just recently come out of Egypt. They're gathered around Mount Sinai, and God is now ready to do something totally different. Once again, he's going to put the nation of Israel under the law. All right? Verse 1, chapter 19. In the third month, now April in biblical history was April. The first month was April, so this would be April, May, June. So it would be in the month of June. When the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day they came into the wilderness of Sinai, for they were departed from Rephidim and were come to the desert of Sinai and had pitched in the wilderness, and there Israel camped before the Mount Sinai. Now verse 3, here's where it gets interesting. Moses went up unto God. Now remember, God is up in the mount, in much the same kind of a situation that you had back in chapter 3. And maybe we better go back and look at it. Go back at Exodus chapter 3 so that you see how completely God communicated with this man Moses. Go back to chapter 3. Now, you know, I teach by as I feel the Spirit leads. I didn't intend to do this. And so this is back while Moses was spending his 40 years in the wilderness, remember, herding sheep. And one day out there on the desert, he saw that bush on fire and it wasn't consumed. So it got his curiosity aroused and he goes over and checks it out. All right, then the voice appears. Verse 3, Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see God, now do you see the terms of deity already in one verse? Lord in one instance, God in the next. And when the Lord, that's always the term for God the Son. And so when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see God, see, now that's the whole triune God, called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And God said, Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes and off thy feet, for the place where thou standest is holy ground. Now watch the language. Moreover, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. See, he's made his point. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Well, you come all the way down then, and you come to verse 13 and 14, verses that I always like to use to show the connecting of the dots of Scripture. And Moses said unto God, the same person speaking out of that bush that's speaking to him up here on Mount Sinai, the same God. All right, and Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come to the children of Israel. Now remember, this is before he's gone to Egypt. And I shall say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you. They will say unto me, What is his name? You know, and I always have to stop there. Why would they ask that question? Because every god in Egypt, hundreds of them, all had a name. If you had a god, he had a name. So how can you come to us with a God without a name? So Moses was right. That's the first thing to ask. What's his name? And continuing on. What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am. That's his name. I am. Have sent me unto you. Now, we've got to compare Scripture with Scripture to get the impact of it, otherwise you miss it. Go all the way up now to John's Gospel. All the way up to John's Gospel, chapter 12. Sorry, chapter 8. Chapter 8. John's Gospel, chapter 8. And here Jesus is being confronted by the religious leaders, as usual. And well, let's just jump in at verse 48. John's Gospel, chapter 8, verse 48. Because this is so foundational. All got it? Then answered Jesus, or then answered the Jews, I'm sorry, and said unto him, Say we not well that thou art a Samaritan? Now, you know, the Jews hated the Samaritans because they were half-breeds. They weren't Gentiles, they were half-breed Jews. Say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and that thou hast a demon? And Jesus answered, I have not a demon. But I honor my Father, and you do dishonor me. And I seek not mine own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Well, boy, that was a strong statement to these religious leaders. And then said the Jews unto him, Now we know you have a demon. Abraham is dead. The prophets, they're dead. And thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, who is dead? And the prophets are dead? Whom makest thou thyself? Who do you think you are, we'd say today? And Jesus answered, If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I should be a liar like unto you. But I know him and keep his saying. Now stop a minute. Do you remember what he said in John 14 when Philip said, Show us the Father? Remember that? What did he say? Philip, have you been so long time with me and thou hast not known that when you have seen me, you have seen who? The Father. Now see, that's beyond us unless we take it by faith. But that's the Trinity. That's the triune God. That when they saw Christ, they saw the whole Godhead. And so this is what they couldn't get through their heads, that he was a member of that triune Godhead, as we call it. All right? So he says, Your father, verse 56, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad. Now that's why I'm glad we read chapter 12, verse 3. What did the Lord tell him? That out of you is going to come a nation of people. All right? This was all through that Abrahamic covenant. All right? Now then, reading on. Then said the Jews, verse 57, You're not even 50 years old. Abraham lived 2,000 years ago. Now wait a minute. The numbers don't match. See? Thou art not yet 50 years old, and you have seen Abraham? And what'd they say? And he said unto them, Verily I say unto you, before Abraham was, what? I am. Who did he claim to be? The I am of Exodus 3. And who's the I am of Exodus 3? Jehovah. Who's Jehovah in the Old Testament? The Lord. Who's the Lord of the Old Testament? God the Son. Who's God the Son in the New Testament? Jesus Christ. See, it all ties together. Same person, different terminology. All right, now then, back to Exodus 19, if you will. So here we have Moses confronting the same God that he did in the burning bush. The same God that appeared unto Abraham. The same God who would later be born in Bethlehem. All right? So Moses went up unto God and the Lord. See, there you got your terms of deity. And the Lord called him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, here it comes now, you have seen, you have witnessed, you have experienced what I did unto the Egyptians. And what did he do to the Egyptians? Miraculously pulled the whole Pharaoh army into that cavern of dried Red Sea with walls of water, must have been several miles apart, or I can't comprehend otherwise. And those stupid Egyptians came right in, suckered like nobody's ever been suckered since. And God brings the water back, killed every one of them. And you know that became one of the greatest miracles in all of Scripture. You remember what Rahab said when the Jews were confronting Jericho? What'd she say? We have heard how your God opened the Red Sea. See? All right. Always keep those things in mind. So this is what he's referring to Moses. You have seen what happened to the Egyptians and how I bear you on eagle's wings. Now, that's a play on words. They didn't fly. But it was just as miraculous that he pulled that whole nation of people through the Red Sea before the Egyptians caught up with them. They didn't lose a man. And yet the timing was such that the minute the last Jew stepped out on the east side, the last raw Egyptian comes in on the west side and the water comes back. And he gets them all. Boy, don't you wish you could fish like that, honey? He got them all. Not a one left. Miracle of miracles, see? All right, so he says, I bear you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself, his chosen people. Here comes the promises now. Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed, ring a bell, that was Adam's problem. He couldn't obey God's voice. And it's mankind's problem even today. But if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then, see, it's conditional, then you, the nation, shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. What does that tell you? He's sovereign. It's his world. It's his universe. He can do whatever he wants to do. And if he wants to take one little nation of people and set them head and shoulders above all the rest of mankind, that's his prerogative. And that's what he did. They are the chosen race, see? All right. And he says, verse 6, and you shall be unto me a, what's the next word? Kingdom. Now, what do you need to have a kingdom? Two entities. You have to have a king, and you have to have subjects. That makes up a kingdom. All right? This is the promise. You're going to be a nation of people with a king ruling over you, and you will all be priests of God or of Jehovah, a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak to the children of Israel. Now, I just had an interesting conversation the other day because of an article I had read. Turn back with me to Peter. I may have to look and see whether it's 1st or 2nd. 1st Peter. I'm sure it is. 1st Peter. Chapter 1. Now, you see, most of Christendom tries to make us priests of God. And the reason they try to do that is because of this little verse in 1 Peter. But see, now here's where I object strenuously. Peter is not writing to the Gentile church. 1 Peter, chapter 1, verse 1. And that's all I do. What does the book say? Now, you want to remember, our New Testament lays out just exactly the way our timeline would down in this dispensation of grace. Exactly. We got the four Gospels. We got the book of Acts. We got Paul's epistles. And then as soon as Paul's epistles end, we pick right back up with Israel in view of the kingdom. So look what Peter writes. Verse 1 of chapter 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Now the word implied is he's writing. He's not speaking. He's writing. So I think I'm safe in putting that in there only for sake of clarity. So Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, writing to the strangers, not to the citizens, the non-citizens, the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who were elect according to the foreknowledge of God. Now, you know, that couldn't involve Gentiles up there in what we now know as Turkey. So who is he writing to? Jews. Fellow Jews who were believers that Jesus was the Messiah. Now, turn over, at least in my Bible, to chapter 2. And then we're going to flip right back to Exodus 19, so that you're sure to see the identical language of these two portions of Scripture. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. All got it? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Now, this is what I call Bible study. You compare Scripture with Scripture, and you ask yourself, who is Peter writing to? Well, it's obvious. He's writing to the 12 tribes scattered throughout the then known world, especially there in Asia or what we call Turkey. Now look what he says. But you, see, not they, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praise of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's Peter writing to Jews, thinking that the tribulation was right out in front of them. He had no idea there's going to be 2,000 years of grace. Now I'll go back to Exodus again. Exercise your computer now. Turn it on. And look at the language. Identical. Verse 5 and 6. Now therefore, God is speaking to Moses up there in Mount Sinai, just after the Red Sea. Therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. Now here comes the identical words of 1 Peter chapter 2. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. And these are the words that thou shalt speak to the children of Israel. All right, now to tie that together, I'm going to try something I don't think I've ever done before. Let's just jump up now to Isaiah chapter 40, 42. Sorry, 42. Isaiah 42. Keep your hand in Exodus. Isaiah 42. So that you can connect the dots. Now, while you're looking, I'll have to ask the question. What's the role of a priest in any religion? Go-between. See? So every Jew was to be a go-between between their God and the people around them. All right, who were they? Here we come. Isaiah 42. This is prophecy. Isaiah 42, start at verse 1. Behold, my servant, whom I uphold, my elect, in whom, now we're talking about a person, not the nation, a person, in whom my soul delighteth, he, this person, shall bring forth rule or government to what people? Gentiles. See? All right, drop down to verse 6. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness and will hold thy hand and give thee for a covenant of the people. Now, stop a minute. Now, who is Scripture addressing? Israel, the nation. The king first, who's going to establish a government over the Gentiles. But now the people who, according to Exodus, are to be a nation of what? Priests? Go-betweens? All right, for what purpose? To be a light to whom? The Gentiles. See that? Now, we know it never happened, but it wasn't God's fault. The promise is held. So why didn't it happen or won't it happen? Because of Israel's unbelief. They're not going to have this opportunity to proclaim salvation to the nations during the kingdom because only believers are going to go in at the front end. That's John 3. Unless you be born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. So what happened? In Israel's unbelief, they lost this opportunity to be evangelists during the kingdom. And so God changed his prerogative and he says, well, then we'll only let believers go into the kingdom. But God didn't drop the ball completely either. So when will Israel have a chance to yet evangelize the nations? They're going to fulfill the Great Commission, which was never given to the church in the first place. They're going to fulfill it where and when? During the tribulation. By whom? The 144,000. They're going to circumvent the globe. I had a question the other day. Where do you get that? Well, I can show you. It doesn't say they're going to circumvent the globe, but good lamb, the language says it. Come back with me. I'll answer the person's question. Maybe I won't have to write the letter. Go back to Revelation. That'd be in chapter 7, where the 144,000 are sealed. Chapter 7. Now, this is really going afar off where I intended to be, but I hope I don't lose you. Revelation 7, here we have the beginning of the tribulation. And I think the two witnesses are the preachers that these 144,000 young Jews will be listening to. But anyway, in verse 4, Revelation 7, I heard the number of them who were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all, that means 12, tribes of Israel. All right, after they're sealed, now verse 9, naturally they're not going to stand around in Jerusalem and say, well, what do we do next? What are they going to do? They're going to go out and beginning to proclaim the gospel of the kingdom as Jesus said they would in Matthew 24. All right, now then, it doesn't say they circumvent the globe, but good heavens, what does verse 9 say? And after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and peoples and languages. What does that mean? The whole world. All the languages, all the nations are going to have representatives of the work of these 144,000. See? So, yeah, it doesn't say they're going to circumvent the globe. It just says that they've preached to all the nations and all the languages and all the tribes. What difference does it make? Whether I say circumvent or whether the Scripture says all nations and languages. See what I mean? But, oh boy. Okay, I got one short minute left. Back to Exodus chapter 19. Back to Exodus chapter 19. Then we're going to have to stop this half hour. So the promise is that you can be a kingdom of priests, verse 6, a holy nation, in other words, one set apart for God's purposes. Verse 7, Moses came and called for the elder of the people and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. And now verse 8, and all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord hath spoken, we will do. And they begin to get themselves ready for a system of religion that we call law, a works religion.
Thank you for watching Through the Bible with Les Feldick. Through the Bible is a partner-supported ministry. If this program has been a help to your study of the Scriptures and you'd like to see others enjoy the teaching, your support would be greatly appreciated. Write to us at Les Feldick Ministries, 30706 West Lona Valley Road, Kenta, Oklahoma, 74552. Or call 1-800-369-7856. Remember, all programs are available in printed form, audio cassette, and videotape. Be sure to tune in next time to Through the Bible with Les Feldick.